My name is Rusty Mackey, and you're listening to The Art of Stability. Hey friends, today I am talking with Trillia Newbell, the author of several books, including her brand new one, 52 Weeks in the Word. When Trillia isn't writing herself, she's helping other writers as an acquisitions editor for Moody Publishing. Today's conversation resonated with me deeply as I think of all the people that I know who are struggling with people in the world right now, especially those feeling disoriented by the church. Have you ever felt confused by your deep commitment to the church while also feeling clueless about how to engage with the church? If you've struggled with the people of God lately, Trillia's experience is helpful and will shine a light on the way forward. Stay with us and enjoy The Lord is My Strength with Trillia Newbell. Trillia, something that I have noticed about you is that you are a noticeably joyful person, and I just value that so much because our world is so hard right now. Every time I see you post something on social media or anytime I pick up any resource that you've created, I just literally find myself smiling. So that's a gift, and I appreciate that. But what I appreciate probably even more than that is you are noticeably joyful, yet you're also not afraid to show sorrow where it's appropriate. And so especially I've seen you on social media around the pain of race issues and other travesties in our country. You have expressed what I would say is appropriate sorrow. So you seem to hold both sorrow and joy together to be sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. And I believe for me, as I think about that, as a mark of emotional maturity, to be able to grow in our capacity to hold both. So I'm curious, starting out today, which of those two are you naturally inclined toward? And was there a defining moment where you saw your need for the other?
Oh, I love this question. And thank you for having me on. You know, it's interesting because I think sorrow comes when you start to experience things. Otherwise, I think sometimes you're kind of unaware, maybe even apathetic to the sorrows of the world. But as I started to experience pain and suffering, even as a young child, I experienced racism pretty early. And it didn't make sense to me. Yeah. And so that was a pain point. And then my father died when I was 19. So I started to experience all sorts of different circumstances that I had to fight for joy in. So I do believe that I'm inclined towards joy.
Okay.
If there was a fight or flight situation, yeah. I would find myself running away from not conflict. I run kind of towards conflict, but running away from sorrow. I don't enjoy feeling sad. Well, I mean, who does? But there are some people. Yeah, who does? But there are some people who are they're feelers and they're okay with sitting in sorrow for. But I express it, and then I want to run away from it. Like, oh, I hate that feeling. I hate the sadness. But the reality is, this is our tension, that kind of already but not yet waiting for the Lord to return, the groanings of the world tension that we live in. So I do think that part of my acknowledging it is, one, to acknowledge my humanness, because like the whole person, a whole part of me, all of me. And then I do think there could be a temptation for people to only see me as joyful. And I want people to know that I am sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, that I'm fighting for joy, that the joy of the Lord is my strength, that it's not a false joy. And so I very, very intentionally share sorrow when I can or when it's appropriate, because I experience sorrow, and it could be a temptation for people to only think that I'm joyful because that is my natural, God-given bent.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, there is a natural bent towards joy early in life, several confusing, disorienting circumstances of pain and loss where you're like, okay, I cannot avoid the sorrow. So you've had to learn that process of sitting with it yourself, but then also what a great self-awareness of other people can perceive me as primarily joyful. And so I need to be intentional to be authentic as a, this is what it means to be a whole human, a whole person. And the fact that I just loved you bringing out the joy of the Lord is my strength. Yeah, I was literally thinking about that this morning, actually. And just curious from your perspective with your story, you know, this idea that the joy of the Lord, that God is the blessed one, God is happy, God is joyful, like that's intrinsic to who he is apart from circumstances. And yet we as people, especially when suffering and loss comes, we have such a hard time viewing God as joyful. This tension of like, God is joy, God is happy, and yet painful, hard things happen. Have you had in any part of your story any wrestling with that tension between you and God and understanding his primary posture and bent as a joyful, happy God of blessedness?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. And I would say mine would be the opposite. So I can see God delighting and rejoicing over everything that he created, and that he says it's good. And I can see God that he sings over us, and Zephaniah says. So I haven't had a hard time seeing that. When I started to, I have had four miscarriages, and I remember after my second one being very despondent, very discouraged, very sad. And it was a help for me to see God also as sorrowful, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, weeping, asking God, and that was not sin. Because Jesus is perfect, right? Yeah. And so for me, I needed to see that sorrow and pain and longing isn't a bad thing, and that he understands grief, and that is okay. So I was just the opposite, and I think it's because of my bent. So because I'm bent towards joy, I could say God is joyful. Of course God's joyful. But when it's sorrow, I needed to see that God was also a God who laments, and that lamenting and sadness isn't sin.
That's right.
So that is, it's just the opposite for me. Isn't that interesting?
That's so fascinating. Yeah. Yeah. It's so fascinating how quickly and easily we view God through the lens of our own bent and personality. Yes. In light of worshiping God when things are good and when things are bad as well, I'd love to hear a story of a time of instability in your life. And how did you navigate that particular season?
Yeah. So it depends on your definition of instability. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to have you define it, and then I'll talk about it, because sometimes trials aren't instability. They're trials. So will you define it for me and your audience, and then I can tell you a time.
I'd be so happy to. I'm thinking of a time that felt very disorienting, where you thought you knew what life was about, what God was about. And then all of a sudden you, because of circumstances, or maybe even just like an internal, you know, instability of like, oh, I don't know which way is up right now.
Mm. Okay. That's super helpful. Well, let me say this. And I know that what I'm about to say may be unique to me, but I haven't had a time, except for maybe when I was in high school and first introduced to the Lord, but not very well, where I, that's a story in itself, where I felt like the Lord was unstable. I was confused about who God was. So I have not experienced that sort of wrestling with God. Are you who you say you are, God? What are you doing, God? Well, I've asked those questions, but not in a accusatory or a confusing about the nature of God.
Sure.
So So I'm grateful for that. I have had instability about the people of God. So
yes, great.
That is, yeah. I have had, I would say that the last probably, what 6 years or so have been a confusing time and an unstable time. I have felt just very perplexed by the nature of the evangelical situation in the United States. Real specifically, I don't want to say the world, or I don't even want to say the church in the United States, because sure, it's broader than that. But we have seen so much division and things that have come to light that I think are good, but mm-hmm, it has been disorienting.
100%.
And broken relationships all over the place, and things, and even recently I was like, now I'm not even sure who I'm supposed to be mad at. Like, who am I supposed to be mad at right now? Because there's so much division.
That's truth.
I have no idea, where do I land, and what, I don't even know what people think of me right now, which is such an, it's weird. It's a weird thing. Like, what camp do people think I'm in? Because I don't even know. So it is so disorienting. But I have settled with, hey, wait a minute. I don't have to fall into the same cultural confusion and disorienting situation and all of the things that are going on. I can still love. I can still proclaim the same truth. And that is what I've decided to do, because I can't keep up with who likes who and who is in what camp. And I cannot keep up with it. But that has been unstable and disorienting. Oh, gosh, has it. But not with God. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
That's right.
And thank God for that. Exactly. And that, so that has actually been the only thing that has kept me, is that God is, he is stable, and God isn't changing and immutable, and we can trust him, and the Bible isn't changing, and cultural, everything's shifting, but God is not. So that has been a comfort. And, that has kept me. So that's the reality. I'm so glad for who God is in a season that is very disorienting.
Yeah. What a beautiful thing you just laid out for us. Beautiful process that you've been through that I think we all need to hear. In trying to navigate the disorientation of the people of God around you, you mentioned like God's stability being the anchor in that season. So walk me through, maybe thinking back to some of the moments where you were just ready to throw your hands up and like, I don't get it. I don't know where I am. I don't know where other people, like, I don't know. Walk me through what it looked like to really press into and experience the stability of God, for him to hold you in those moments.
I think one of the things, one habit that I have developed early into my walk that I've kept, is something that I think actually was coined by Jerry Bridges, who stole it from someone else. So who knows where it started, but to preach the gospel to myself every day. So daily recounting, kind of like a Psalm 103, forget not his benefits, who redeemed your life from the pit situation. So that's kind of what I've been exercising for a long time. And that habit, that reminder, also reminds me of who God is. And so I think what's anchored me is that I haven't abandoned the disciplines, the spiritual disciplines. Yeah. Because I do think that once you kind of start moving away from him through communion and prayer and reading, and start just diving into cable news or social media, or and letting those just be the things that feed your soul, you will forget.
That's right.
And we also, although sickness and other circumstances have kept us over the last couple of weeks from church, that that rhythm of going to church helps stabilize and keep us. It keeps us. So those are kind of the things and the rhythms and the that kept me stable. And often, although what happens naturally does trickle down to local, I think it's an error to say those are only the national things. Yes, it trickles down to local. It does. When you're rooted in a community with people, it does help. Now, some of those communities are also fractured. I mean, it's all That's over
right.
the place.
That's right.
But I do believe that disciplines and finding that church helps when everything else feels so unstable. And it does. It's a crazy time.
It is a crazy time. I'm curious, thinking of the moments of instability, being disoriented. Did you find yourself experiencing God more as the joyful, blessed God and creator? Or did you find yourself experiencing him more as the man of sorrows?
I love this question. You know, it's interesting because what we experience God as, God doesn't change. So he's all of those things.
Exactly.
So what I might experience or relate to more as a part of God's attribute, that doesn't mean God is more of that thing.
Exactly.
So I think that's important to state. However, I would say that in this season, over the last several years, I have related to the Lord more as the man, God of sorrows, because I believe that his heart would ache over all of these things. It's not the vision that we see in the scriptures of a community that is united and loving and caring for one another. However, it's also not new. Read the Old Testament.
Yes.
So read the New Testament. Read the Bible.
Read the New Testament.
Yeah, I mean, just read the Bible. You see just the people who disobey him and left him and abandoned him. And so this isn't something that's new, which also helps. So there's a lot about the scriptures that bring clarity, I think, for me. But I would think this is really interesting because I haven't thought about how I have related to the Lord, a thought of his character, his attributes in light of what I'm experiencing. And I would say, when I think about it, my heart goes to the God who draws near to the brokenhearted.
That's right.
The God who weeps, the God who laments, God who's merciful, the God who's patient. Those are the things that I think of in this season, which is really interesting. I love these. This is so interesting. I love this. I love this kind of, I haven't really thought of it this way, but I think this is fascinating. And everyone should do this kind of exercise that you're putting me through. It's thinking through how we relate to the Lord in our experiences. I think even as you're saying, or as you have asked me, it should help us to have a lot of grace for people.
That's right.
Because when we are experiencing certain things, we are going to navigate towards certain scriptures or certain aspects of the Lord. And sometimes to the detriment of all of him, right?
That's right.
Aren't considering all of him. And so, though for me, it's been a comfort, I don't think I've done this, but it might be a temptation to judge my sister or my brother who is relating to the Lord in a different, in a different way. So this is really interesting. I love it.
I love that insight you just had of need to understand what's going on between us and the Lord, but then to also understand the potential temptation in relation to others and judging, oh, you're not where I am, but to entrust their souls that the Lord is holding you where you are. It's just the beauty of the Lord, isn't it? I mean, the Lord condescends to us and yes. not in a negative, he's condescending toward us, but that he meets us. He is all of these things all at once, you know, the God of love, God of wrath, the God of mercy, God of patience, God of joy, man of sorrows. He's all these things. And yet he condescends to meet us. It's incarnational in a sense, right? It's what Jesus 100%. Did.
Emmanuel, God with us. And that this Hebrews 4, I believe, says that he was tempted in every way, but without sin. So he relates. He relates. Mm-hmm. And so praise God for that. Praise God for that. It's so, it's really, it's, I'm so you, if you want to ask me what has kept me stable, I think we've figured it out. It's God.
It's God.
Right?
That's right.
That is what's kept me stable. Yeah.
Yeah. And God's kindness to meet us where we are. And to really have a servant's heart, which is so mind-blowing, you know, that God, part of who he is he's other-centered. Yeah. He's a servant. Jesus came and took on the form of a servant, right? Man, what a beautiful Savior we have. Mm. Well, we've talked a good bit about kind of processing the pain and the hard with the Lord and how the Lord meets us in that. Let's turn the corner. I want to know, how are you enjoying Jesus right now? What are you doing in relation to him that is just, it puts a smile on your face?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. There's so many ways. Okay, so this comes out. I am joyful.
Here we go. Let's turn the corner.
I just laughed because my voice went, ah! That's amazing. Okay. I really have enjoyed. Okay, so I have a new book called 52 Weeks in the Word, a companion.
Yes, you do.
Yes, a companion for reading through the Bible in a year. And what has been so much fun is hearing about the people who are reading through the Bible. And I just get so much joy out of it. This just last night, my son told me that he's like, Mom, I started reading through the Bible, and right now I'm on Genesis 7, and I'm learning so much about the Old Testament, and it's kind of stuff I didn't know. And I was like, praise the Lord. And then my mother-in-law told me she started reading through the Bible. And of course, these are really personal, but there are people who are reading and learning about the Lord, and they're going to enjoy Jesus. And that in turn causes me such delight. Just the thought, and the Lord is meeting people all over the place through his word, and me personally, because I think that's the real answer to the question. Mm-hmm. But I do believe that's personal. I believe he allows us to enjoy the ministry work that we do, that I believe that is something that he enjoys seeing our joy as we serve him. But the other thing is, I just, every time I read the word, I learn something new. Right now, I don't want to date our podcast, but we are in a season of Advent. So, yes. So I am reading through an Advent devotional, which I don't tend to do. I don't tend to read. Yeah, I don't. I tend to read just the Bible. But it's been delightful to think of kind of this slowing down. It is, I should also say, observing things like Advent and Lent aren't a part of my tradition. It's not typically what I do. And it's because I am bent towards joy, I want to just, he's here. Let's rejoice.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Party.
Yeah. The resurrection, like that kind of waiting and being sorrowful until I'm like, wait a minute, he's already risen. So it's hard for me to sit into those things. But Right now, I'm using a devotional by a friend of mine. Her name's Ruth Jo Simons, called Emmanuel. And she is just urging us to have a posture of worship and a posture. And that, I think, has been I'm going to use the word adjustment in this season of busyness, because I've been so busy. I think it can be a temptation for me to read. Okay. I've checked off. I enjoyed it, but I'm checked off and moved to the next thing. But posture of slowness and worship, it has been a good and helpful correction and a reminder of, okay, this is how I'm going to enjoy the Lord in this season. And so that, I think, has been a delight to just slow down and ponder anew what the Almighty can do and sit. I'm singing the song. Anyways, there you so there you go.
I love what you just shared. You know, several things that I'm noticing. One, the joy that you're getting with others getting into the Word, because the Word in connecting to the Lord in that way has been your source of stability and hardship. And so you're like, yay, you get to connect with the Lord too. And there is like a cheering others on in that is beautiful. And I think very God honoring. I'm also noticing it's so interesting, this, you know, slowing down for Advent, focusing on Advent. That's not normally my bent. I'm even thinking of, you mentioned earlier, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And I think that's in Nehemiah 8. And right before that, you know, like Israel, they're war torn, they're haggard, there's all this disorientation, right? And they're sad, they're crying. And God says, do not mourn. The joy of the Lord is your strength, and go throw a party, right? Like, so there are times for joy. There are times for sorrow. Advent is a time to slow down, to pay attention to the darkness, so that when the light comes, it's so much brighter. But yet, even as you're describing the slowing down and paying attention to the darkness, you're like, there's just this joy. So I think that just points out, as humans, yes, it's helpful to focus on one and the other, but they do go so hand in hand. And there's a goodness and a rightness to just letting your soul be where it is with the Lord. And I loved what you said too, Trillia, that, you know, I think the Lord enjoys us enjoying what He's called us to do. What is it like for you? You mentioned earlier that you don't struggle with viewing God as joyful. What is it like for you to experience the Lord's delight in you?
This is interesting, because I think that, okay, this is going to sound so interesting, but I think of Enoch. He walked with God and he pleased the Lord. I feel just a sense that God isn't a liar. This is going to sound so weird. I'm going to get to it. But God isn't a liar, because God can't lie, right? If God says that we are covered with Christ's righteousness, that our sins are from as far as the east to the west, that there's no condemnation in those who are Christ Jesus, I have a choice.
That's right.
I'm either going to take him at his word, or he's a liar. And so, because I believe that what he has said is true, then it's easy for me to believe then he's pleased with me. Yeah. Now, that doesn't mean that I go on sinning. I should repent, because God's also called us to obey him.
That's right.
And his word says, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to purify us. 1 John 1:9. So we want to confess sin, repent, turn. However, we don't stand condemned. So I think that the only way for me to not sense his pleasure in his is if I am unrepentant,
yeah,
or self-focused. So if I'm looking at myself rather than Jesus, then I'm going to believe, or I'm going to experience mm-hmm. that he's not pleased. So I have to ask myself, do I believe what he says to be true? Or is there anything in me that isn't submitted to the Lord?
Yeah, that's right.
And if so, then I'm going to submit it to him. I'm going to confess it, turn, and enjoy his grace.
Yes. Because that's what
he, so,
yes.
So I don't, thankfully, walk around condemned because I try to either believe what he says or repent when I've gone wrong. That doesn't mean that every single moment I think that is my posture. It really is. I'm trying to water it down to pretend like it's not how I walk, but it is.
Yeah.
That is my posture. So I'm either going to believe what he says or I'm going to repent. And those are the choices I feel like I have.
Well, thank you for your honesty and for not watering it down, because I think for those who struggle with faith, they can have this thought that even though I know I'm forgiven, I don't feel forgiven, and I'm walking down feeling the burden and weight of condemnation that Jesus has taken away, right? And they think that they can never move beyond that experience of condemnation. So to have someone who has really a beautiful faith, maybe even a gift of faith, I don't know.
It's a gift. I believe God's, it's a gift.
Yeah. So someone who has the gift of faith, then it can be a great encouragement to others of like, hey, they're actually, this side of heaven, there is another way to experience life in God. And it's free.
Yes.
It's a light burden. It's an easy yoke and as possible, right? So thank you for not watering it down, but for being really honest in that, and what a gift that is of an example that the Lord has worked in you for us.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. I do want to say that it is a gift. And I also believe that God gives gifts freely.
That exactly.
Yeah, he's a giver of gifts. All good things come from him. So I do pray that if there's any encouragement in that those who might be struggling would ask the Lord for a gift to believe. And when you don't believe, you can say that you don't, and that you can ask him, I believe, help my unbelief, you know, help
That's right.
help me to believe that who you say you are is who you are. Yeah.
Mm. Well said. And what a beautiful encouragement. Well, Trilly, I've thoroughly enjoyed this conversation today. I'm grateful for who you are. I'm grateful also for the ministry that you have. So thank you for blessing the world with who you are and your gifts. And thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you.
All right, friends, I hope you enjoyed this episode. Check out the show notes to find Trilia on social media, as well as a link to her new book, 52 Weeks in the Word, a companion for reading through the Bible in a year. The Art of Stability is a production of Steadfast Ministries that exists to help you stay grounded in Christ to lead with confidence and clarity. Head over to steadfastmin.com, that's steadfastmin.com, to see all the ways I help you do that. The cover art was created by Brian Bim, music created and performed by Rob Main, and the music was recorded and produced by the Asterisk Company. Thank you for joining me, and I'll see you next time on The Art of Stability.